So in this series of I Am, when Neil first mentioned we've got this series of I Am, the first thing that I thought of was I Am Spartacus. There you go. I'm really glad because I wasn't sure if anybody would kind of get that, because that was the first thing that came to my mind. So, well, this morning we are going to be looking at Be Holy Because I Am Holy. The first little bit is a few of my random thoughts that I've kind of put together, and then hopefully that will make sense later on. A new pastor was visiting, again, you've probably heard this, but not everybody. But a new pastor was visiting the homes of some of his new congregation when he came to one house that seemed obvious there was somebody at home. But no answer came when he repeatedly knocked at the door. Therefore, he took out one of his business cards and he wrote upon it Revelation 3:20 and he slipped it through their letterbox. When the offering was collected the following Sunday morning, he found his business card in the offertory. It was returned to him with a cryptic message on it, Genesis 3:10. So reaching out for his Bible to check the verses, he broke out in streams of laughter, because Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." But their reply was, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So just as the person in the garden was ashamed to answer the door in her current state of undress, do we ever come before God utterly ashamed of who we are, how we've been, and how we've behaved? The thing is, God knows everything about us, from the hairs of our heads, Matthew 10:30, to our deepest and darkest thoughts, Psalm 139 and Proverbs 15. If you want to check these verses later, please come and ask me for them. So even though we may feel ashamed before God, He already knows what's going on in here. We just need to come before Him. We need to say we're sorry. And in a minute, there's going to be no better time than when we share around the Lord's table. If God is your creator, your friend, your savior, if God is your healer, you might need to click up once more, Andrew, your rock, your hope, your salvation, your strength, your inspiration, if God is your everything, then why wouldn't you want to strive to be more like Him? Hence, be holy because I am holy. But in church, we often use words like holy, but that doesn't necessarily mean we know what they actually mean, or even the true meaning of the word. So in this summer series of I Am, I chose this sermon title from Neil because he gave me a list. But what do I know about being holy? You're probably sitting there thinking, what does he know? What does Andy know about being holy? And to be fair, rightly so. None of us truly know how to be holy. But what we can do is we can strive to be holy. So you are right. What do I know about being holy? Well, all I can do is read the Bible, read up on what the Bible says about being holy, and about holiness, and then pray. Pray that what I have read is inspired by God, and that when I write it down, that I'm inspired by Him to write down what He wants me to write, and not what I want to write. And then share that with you this morning. So here goes. I think the church, as in us, are a lot like the house of 1,000 mirrors. Let me tell you a story. Are you sitting comfortably? Good, then I shall begin. Long ago in a small village far away, there was a place known as the House of 1,000 Mirrors, and a small, happy little dog learned of this place, and he decided to visit. When he arrived, he bounced happily up the stairs to the doorway of the house, and he looked through the doorway with his ears lifted high and his tail wagging as fast as it could. To his great surprise, when he got inside the house, he found another 1,000 dogs just as happy as him, tails wagging just as fast as him. He smiled a great smile and was answered with 1,000 smiles just as warm and just as friendly as his. This is a wonderful place, he thought. I'm going to come back here often and visit. But in the same village lived another little dog who was not as happy as the first one. He decided to visit the same house of 1,000 mirrors. He slowly climbed the stairs with his head hung low. He looked into the door, and when he got inside, he saw 1,000 unfriendly dogs staring straight back at him. He growled at them and was horrified when 1,000 other dogs growled back at him. As he left, he thought, "This is a horrible place. I will never go back." All of the faces in the world, all of the faces that you and I see, are like that reflection. What sort of person did you see staring back at you this morning when you looked in the mirrors? I know I can be really guilty of being grumpy. But wherever we go, we should go with great joy and great happiness. And we will encourage others to feel the same. Just as when you smile at somebody, they instinctively smile back. There are some people who light up my life by just smiling. My wife is one of them. She is such a happy person. If God hadn't have put Liz in my life, I don't know what kind of a grumpy wreck I'd have been. Susan Lyon, Mark Dorlan, Nick Webb are all people who are great encouragers to me that make me smile from the inside when sometimes they don't even say anything to me. And I believe as a church, we are under fire. We are under fire from the devil because he is changing us and moving us forward. There is so much brilliant stuff going on here at London Road Baptist Church that we are under fire. And I heard this the other day and thought it was so relevant. When a flower doesn't bloom, we change the environment in which it grows. We do not change the flower. I'm going to read that again. When a flower doesn't bloom, we change the environment in which it grows. We do not change the flower. When, as people, we're not blooming, or as David Minton would say, flourishing, God changes our environment. He does not replace us. God is changing our environment here at London Road Baptist Church so that as Christians and as a church, we can flourish and we can bloom for him. We have heard from Neil preach before from Isaiah 43 that says, "You see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" So God is doing great stuff here at London Road Baptist Church. So how does all of this that I've already said fit into being holy? Well, I don't know. Let's see what we got. God thinks that being holy and holiness should be extremely important to us as Christians. He uses the word holy in 59 out of the 66 books. And as far as I could find out, without counting them personally, he mentions being holy 551 times throughout the Bible. But on the flip side of being holy is unholy and unholiness, which is only mentioned 3 times. But when it is mentioned, it's mentioned in an extremely strong way, with no flannel, as my dad would say. But I'll come to that in a bit later. Even one of Neil's quotes that he often uses from Corinthians 13, "Greet one another with a holy kiss," obviously has the word holy in it. In the second chapter of the Bible, after God created the world, he set aside the seventh day as a holy day. Genesis 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had of creating that he had done." So right at the beginning, God thought, "I need a day that's holy and of rest," because he's a holy God. We also sing songs of worship like, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are holy." We sing about God's holiness. So where did I start with "be holy because I am holy"? Well, for me, the best place is obviously Jesus' teaching. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus teaches us to pray, which says this: "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus knew how important it was for us to remember that God is holy when we pray. To remember that praying to a holy God, hallowed be your name, remembering that the very essence of God is holy and sacred. That when we are talking to him, to remember that before we start asking for things like forgiveness and healing, that we remember that God is holy. That everything about him is sacred. Like I said, we praise and worship a holy God. We sing songs and declare that God is holy. But this is nothing new. Hannah's prayer in Samuel says this. Then Hannah prayed, "Her heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." So, I've mentioned holy quite a few times already. So what does holy mean? And to be honest, I'm going to pick on Alec, because whenever somebody says, "Oh, what does a word mean?" Alec's always the guy who goes, "This is what it is." Alec, what does holy mean?
Being different.
Being different. Great. Perfect. That is dead right. Being different. The Bible uses a slightly different word. It means set apart. It means different. It means we are set apart. Being holy is different. It's being set apart. Thank you, Alex. See, I knew Alec would know. Holy means to be set apart. It means to be sacred. Set apart, for me, set apart by God for his service. Jesus was set apart from the sinners. He was different, like Alex says, he was different from the sinners because he was holy. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Jesus was different. So when I take a drink, I'm going to ask you a question. How does this make you feel? Do you feel chosen? Do you feel loved, special, sacred even here this morning? Because you are set apart by God. He has chosen you and me to be his sons and daughters. How does that make you feel? When we are young, most of us want to sort of grow up to be like our parents. Our parents almost become like superheroes when we're about 4 or 5, and we want to strive to be like our parents. And to be fair, God is no different. He wants the same for us. God is holy, and he wants us to strive to be holy like him too. We are adopted into God's family. And just as we want to be like our earthly mothers and fathers, God wants us to be like our heavenly Father. Ephesians 1 puts it like this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and the best thing for me is it gave him great pleasure. It wasn't, "Oh, this is what I ought to do." God wanted to do it, and it gave him great pleasure. Again, Corinthians says it like this. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Be set apart, be different. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. We are sons and daughters of God. We are part of his family. We have been set apart by him, chosen by him through the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I will ask you the same question again. How does this make you feel? Do you feel chosen, loved, special, sacred, because you are set apart by God? He has chosen us to be his sons and daughters. God wants us to be part of his family. He wants us to be pure and holy and to have that full relationship that we can with him, but only when we are worthy sons and daughters. We need to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to be set apart from the world. We need to be different, like Alex says. We need to be different in the way we act and the way we behave to show the world that we are different. We are holy and we are set apart by God. Just like the mirrors, we have to reflect to other people that we are saved through our actions and through our behavior. We need to reflect to the world what a difference being a Christian has made to our own lives. We cannot be a Christian and still act in the same way as we did as those that don't have Christ in their lives. There has to be a difference. We should be alive in Christ. Neil only said last week that it's possible to be religious in our voice, but not redeemed in our behavior. This stuff, our faith, it has to make a difference. What would be the point of having all of the head knowledge, but none of the actions to back up what we know and what we believe? In Ephesians 2, it's titled Alive in Christ. But I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, because again, I really like this. So Alive in Christ from Ephesians 2. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. These are strong words. This is good stuff. We all did it. All of us. And again, there's no exceptions here. It's all of us. We all did, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder that God didn't just lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own, no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in the company with Jesus, our Messiah. So another question. So do you feel alive in Christ this morning? If we are alive in Christ, that means we have Christ living inside us. And by default, that means that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, which leads me on to my next bit. I haven't really got any points. It's just one big, long chat. So 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from sexual immorality. This is about being temples of the Holy Spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All our sins a person commits are on the outside of the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your God with your bodies. The more and more I read about being holy, the more and more I noticed that holiness and sinfulness are like opposites. They're like a million miles apart from each other. There is no room for sin in a holy life. You cannot be holy and sinful. With Jesus Christ living inside us, we can't just go, well, that's job done. We have to constantly strive to be holy and more Christ-like in all that we say and in all that we do. Be holy because I am holy. How does this command, I'm going to call it, make you feel? Do you instantly think that, well, I can't do, that's impossible for me? And in some ways, you'd be right. Because no one can be holy as God is holy. But this verse is saying, be holy because I am holy. Not be as holy as God. And there's a massive difference. None of us can ever be as holy as God is. But we can all strive to be as holy as God intended us to be. Because holiness is not just for old Christians or new Christians or super Christians, if there is such a thing. It's not just for the church leaders or for Neil. Being holy stands at the beginning and the center of God's call upon our lives. Be holy because I am holy, God says. Not get your life straight, get yourself sorted, and then come to me and I'll make you holy. We have to be holy because God is holy. We can only truly meet and walk with God and have a full relationship with our holy God when we are holy too. We are first called to be holy, not just to be good sinners and moral people. Because as we strive to be holy, in turn, our sinful and immoral ways will naturally decline. God's call upon our lives to be holy is huge. But again, how do we strive to do that? Being holy has to encompass every aspect of our lives. When we're baptized, we say goodbye to our old sinful life. And I think running alongside our holiness is our life, the life that is impure, that is immoral, that is sinful, that is deceitful. These are all the things that we should bury when we're baptized. But as humans, we constantly fall short of God's perfection. We need to work on and reshape our lives as Christians, which will in turn help us to be more holy. 1 Peter 1 says, I came up with this kind of little conclusion, even though I'm only halfway through. But this is how I felt. The more and more I read about being holy, it's like the more holy we are, the less sinful we become. And on the flip side to that, the less sinful we are, the more holy we become. It's a totally double-edged coin. So 1 Peter 1, be holy. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I'm going to be blunt here. And whenever I say that to Malcolm, he says, well, I didn't expect anything else. I'm going to be blunt here. Verse 14 says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, i.e. before you became a Christian. We cannot be holy and still watch pornography or have lustful thoughts or have affairs. We cannot be holy and still be jealous or greedy or bitter or angry or blasphemous. The list is huge. I'm not saying that at times we may fall short and we will fall short. I fall short. But we shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking that, well, because I don't do it very often, then that's okay. Or because it's not as bad as other sins, then that's okay. Well, I only do this. Whatever we do that is against what God wants us to do has to be worked on. First Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has said that he will return. He is coming back. And we have to be ready. We are required to keep our whole mind, our whole body, and our whole spirit holy for when he returns. 2 Peter 3 says basically the same. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire. Well, at least it shows you're listening, doesn't it? And the earth and everything done on it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, What kind of people ought you to be? I'm going to ask you the question. Peter's asking you the question here. What sort of people ought you to be? Andrew's already clicked it up, so you've got the answer. But you ought to live holy and godly lives. But this isn't just about preparation for Jesus coming back. This isn't just getting ready for the second coming. This is about our everyday walk with God. God is right here, right now, and he dwells among us. We are also told in Leviticus that God walks among us. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. If we're going to have this full relationship with a holy God that walks among us, then we too have to be holy. Do not defile yourselves by any of these creatures. Do not make yourselves unclean by means of them, or be made unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. God didn't just say this once. He says it a number of times in the Old and the New Testament. You and I being holy, like I've already said, is massively important to a holy God. It is much easier to have a good relationship with somebody who acts the same, who feels the same. I don't know about you and I, but you have your own natural friendship groups because you think the same, you'd like the same things. It's no different with God. God is holy. We need to be holy to have that relationship, to have that proper, full relationship and friendship with him. Now, I said I was going to come back to this, so here goes. The alternative to being holy is unholy and unholiness. But unholiness is put alongside all of our sinful desires. 1 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 3 put it like this. We know the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. Unholiness is written alongside a whole list of things that we shouldn't be doing as Christians. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not lovers of the good. Again, holy is listed with this list of stuff that we shouldn't be doing. So without exception, we have to try to be holy because God is holy. Be holy because I am holy, God says. If God is holy, then we are called to be holy. As the alternative is unholiness and ungodliness. And we wouldn't want that, would we? So, how holy have you been today? How holy have I been today? Have you been holy this week? Does your holiness shine out of all that you do for all to see? If God came back this morning and stood before you, would he say that you are holy? Let's just take a second to think about that. How holy do you feel this morning? Or does your sin get too much in the way? As we lead into communion, I'd like us to take time to think about and reflect about the reflection in the mirror and what sort of person that we display to others. If you look in that mirror and you're really happy with what you see before God, then that's great. But it's also about how we reflect our image to other people, how we reflect as we are to other Christians, to the people we meet in the supermarket, to the dog walkers. We have to reflect, like Alex says, that we are different. I'm just going to ask everybody to just bow your heads for a minute. Just take a minute to think about the things that separate you from a holy God. Maybe your own personal unholiness, your own personal ungodliness, your own sinfulness. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that this morning we've already sung about you are a good, good Father. I want to thank you that however unholy and ungodly and sinful that we are, that I am, that you still want us to have a relationship with you. You are so sacred. You are the creator of the universe. You are ultimately holy. And yet you want to have a relationship and a friendship, and you want to walk alongside me, a sinner. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that opportunity that you are just all loving and all forgiving. Amen.